brews with hops, hop extract, barley, water, and corn syrup. Bud Light. Brewed with no corn syrup. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri. Based on information available at MillerCoors.com as of January 16, 2019.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton and St. Louis Hills pay some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Every Friday afternoon, it's Hockey Sense with Andy Strickland.
It's our Friday tradition, live from Schneidhorst here in Frontenac. You never know who's going to come on the show each and every week. Joining us now is Blues general manager Doug Armstrong, the former first overall pick. Now he's a television star, Brian Lott, Keith Tkachuk, Brian Burke, longtime NHL executive. Every Friday from 4 until 5.
It's Hockey Sense on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Guys, when it comes to jewelry, do you know what women want? We do. Hi, I'm Diana Neustetter along with my daughter Mariah.
Guys, come to Neustetter's. Our professional team has you covered.
Our family has owned and operated Neustetter's Fine Jewelry since 1961.
Our large inventory offers something for everyone at any budget, and we offer hand engraving on site by my grandfather, Richard.
Visit us today at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry Road or at wowdiamonds.com.
Neustetter's Fine Jewelry.
We know what women want.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
So I haven't heard anything. How'd the Blues do last night? Nobody seems to be talking about it.
I think they played tonight. I don't think they played last night.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And that happy tune.
You folks may have noticed a little difference in Tim's voice. I'm guessing there was a lot of yelling going on last night.
It's... I wish today was Friday.
Normally, I don't know, there's a certain timbre to your voice. I think you used a little of that last night.
It's...
Can't talk now.
It's not all here. Nope.
This is a place for crazy people.
Yeah, we're here.
That's why we're here. I know what's coming. I know what's coming right out of the chute. I know what we're going to be talking about. I'm just going to have to be the guy. Yeah, I'm going to have to be the guy who helps them dial it back a little because they're still on a high. Tim and Dan and I'm sure John Londoff. And I will say that, and this is very unlike me, I watched that entire game from beginning to end. And I got to tell you, even I was just sitting there going, come on. Because I don't know anything about hockey, but first of all, let me welcome everybody to the show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. On this, the 8th day of May, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Hey, come on.
Okay, what did we just correspond about?
We just talked about having it, and I've got it ready, and now my computer is frozen, so just I need to do a control alt delete situation here.
Blame it on the computer. He's over here filing his nails, and he says, blame it on the computer.
Danger, danger, Will Robinson.
You're gonna have to tell me. You're gonna have to tell me when it's ready.
All right.
This is now reinstated as a regular part of the show.
Probably gonna be like about a minute or two.
Oh.
Well, you tell me when it's ready, okay? So here's I watched the whole thing, and here's my take on it. And I didn't know Tim was going to be at the game, so I sent him a text thinking, okay, well, it's May 8th, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June in another sleepy dusty terrible day.
Oh, that's right. It's the 3rd of June. By the way, you can cut off that little strumming in the very beginning. We don't need that. Just clip that off next time and just have her sing. So that's right. It's the 3rd of June. It's not the 8th of May. That's an old bit we used to do. I figured we'd bring it back. We don't have enough running gags on this show. So I sent him a text not knowing he was at the game. I thought he'd be home. And then he texted me back. He goes, boy, it's really loud here. I saw where you called. And I realized he was at the game. So I thought, forget. Don't worry about it. It was a question. It was a hockey question about overtime. But I got the answer just by watching the game. And I didn't know that if you went into a second overtime, it was another regular, 20-minute period. I thought there was some, 5-minute sudden death or something. But
In the playoffs, it's like that. The regular season, they go 5 minutes of 3-on-3, and if no one scores, then they have a shootout to finish the game.
Okay. And
in the playoffs, it's just 20 minutes worth of 5-on-5 going crazy.
But it seemed to me, as somebody who knows nothing watching it, that the Blues last night were in possession of that puck a lot more than Dallas, and they certainly had more shots than Dallas. And that Bob Bishop...
Ben Bishop.
I'm sorry, Ben Bishop. Yeah. That guy, what a goalie that guy. And I thought, well, surely he's just worn out. Here's the other thing I noticed about hockey. This is the most physically demanding sport of any sport. In football or baseball, there can actually be some, is anything ever going to happen here? Some downtime. I don't think there's 3 seconds in hockey where it's just not... I mean, it's just the fastest moving thing I've ever seen. And then I realized a goalie in hockey, not only does this person have to be quicker than quick in terms of reaction, they have to have the strongest legs of any athlete anywhere. All hockey players do. Stamina in hockey is at a level that I don't think any other athlete can lay claim to. It's an impressive... a bunch of guys who do what they do. I will have to admit, I can see where hockey people are the fanatics that they are, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. And Pat Maroon, as a non-sports person, the best way I can put this is he is now our new David Freeze.
Oh, yeah.
In 11, I think it was, in the 6th game, which I was at that game. I was at that game.
I was at that game, too.
And he's pretty much done what Freeze did for us in baseball. And that has allowed us to go on and move on with that one. And the fact that it was just sitting there, and he just walked up and... It was great. I enjoyed it. I really did. And I know that there are a lot of people listening going, enough hockey. I'm the first guy that would normally be doing that. But I think we have to let Tim and Dan get it out of their systems and say what they want to say. And I do think, Tim, you must have done a lot of yelling. I mean, you're not without voice. You have laryngitis. But I can tell you used it last night. And Dan, I know Dan well enough to know, it's a miracle he didn't have a heart attack when they went into the second overtime.
Oh, man.
Because he sent me a couple of texts, and I could just tell he was about to explode. He was so excited. Tim, any comments you want to make? Let's just go ahead and have them.
I'll just tell you a funny story of something that happened after the game, which I think even the non-hockey fan listeners will enjoy this story. I went with my uncle as his guest. He gave me a ticket. He is a season ticket holder, and... I said on the show yesterday that if the Blues won last night, that the next round wouldn't begin until Saturday if they play Colorado, because if you recall, Cher's in concert Friday night, right? So, and that's still the case. She's a guy. Now, I just looked on StubHub. There's tickets. There's people on StubHub right now trying to sell Cher tickets for $600 on the floor.
Really?
Of this concert. Even the upper deck seats where I was sitting last night, they're asking for $130 for them, which is probably about what you could have got a Blues ticket for from a scalper last night. So Game 7 and Cher tickets are, neck and neck in the eyes of the StubHub fans. Anywho, you like that?
Yeah,
like
well that? Done. That's
good. Better than the alternative. Yeah. Get itchy trigger finger there when I said right. Any. I saw your hand lift. Anywho... I'm walking out of the game with my uncle, and he's just all fired up. And his daughter, who was sitting elsewhere, is going to drive us all home. And so I'm walking with him, and he goes, can't wait for that San Jose-Colorado game tomorrow night. He goes, and then if Colorado wins, I can't wait for Friday night game one. I said, no, it's not going to be until Saturday. He said, why's that? I said, because Cher's in concert Friday night. He goes, oh, yeah, I got tickets to that. I forgot. I'm like, how can you forget that you have share tickets? How long have you been looking forward to seeing this? Now, here's what happened. We walked to the parking garage, and his daughter and his grandson are sitting in the car waiting for us to get there. They got to the car first. I get in the car, and the first thing his daughter, Katie, says is, oh, that was an awesome game, blah, 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 blah. Can't wait. I hope Colorado wins tomorrow night. Now, Friday night, I'm going to be racked up for game one. I said, Katie, they're not going to play game one Friday. Why is that? Cher's in concert Friday night. She goes, oh, yeah, I got tickets to that. Okay. How can both you morons forget that you have Cher tickets when it's 2 days away? I mean, that just blew me away. It was the funniest thing. I had.
That's how powerful the Blues games are to them, and it overshadowed the thought and the memory that they even had those.
You lose your mind. Tickets. You lose your mind. And then about 18,000-plus people lost their minds last night.
Man.
I'll just conclude with this. I think that is the loudest sporting event I've ever attended or been a part of in my life.
I tried to watch the Down on the Ice interviews with Pat Maroon. They couldn't hear each other. I mean, they're right face-to-face, nose-to-nose, and could barely hear each other for the interview. It was that loud.
I videoed, and you can't even get an appreciation of how loud that place was last night. I've never heard that place that loud, because I've been there when the Blues have clinched a playoff spot, and it's been loud in there before, but man, when Maroon scored that goal, that place just went crazy, and I've never heard it that loud.
People who didn't know each other were hugging each other and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was like bedlam.
It was like we won the Stanley Cup. And people are walking down the steps, and where everybody's screaming and high-fiving, and people are running up the steps. They had Jordan Bennington's, the big head, the goalie mask and stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody's screaming with that. It was mayhem.
Here's how loud it was. Two tweets went out after the game from two people who both said it's the loudest thing they've ever heard. Lou Ferrigno and Marley Matlin. They said it's the loudest. And if they thought it was loud, then, buddy, it was loud.
The Dallas that's funny. The Dallas Morning News put a video on their website of the Dallas fans watch party. Like they all gathered in this outdoor area, probably next to the stadium where they play.
I've seen that.
And they had a camera on the fans' faces as the Blues scored the game-winning goal.
Oh.
And I mean, I don't even know why they put this video up, because the first thing you see is this 10-year-old kid bawling, crying in his mother's arms, and I felt bad. And then you see these two old guys that are, you know, probably in their 80s wearing jerseys, and they just had this look of exasperation on their face, and I felt really bad. And then I saw these four really hot chicks that were really, really hot, and they were just crying their eyes out, and that's when I laughed, when I saw that. Like, good, you're going to be hot your whole life.
Well,
you're gonna
have for as bad as you might have felt watching a 10-year-old kid cry, all you have to do is this. Take that and say, what if that was a little Blues kid?
Yeah.
And a little kid in a Blues jersey crying, okay? That'd be worse. So, there you go.
Well, you know,
somebody had to cry.
Last night, Pat Maroon's family, entire family was there, and they had his kid on camera, I guess, and they said as soon as he found out that was his dad that scored, he just burst out crying. So,
well, you know who Pat Maroon's uncle was, and he was there, Ron Burgundy.
Oh my God, Maroon and Burgundy, I get it.
Thank you.
I get it. Colored.
Thanks for getting it.
Color humor.
Thanks for getting it. Not colored humor. Color humor.
Color humor.
There's a difference.
Color humor.
Either one of you want to add? Limey, you're kind of quiet. I guess you, did you watch it?
He drove us down there.
Yeah, I took them down there after their show, but no, I didn't get to watch it. I was at home doing schoolwork, so I was doing that. But I was keeping up on the score and all that. I'm very happy that they won.
How's that school thing going? Are you learning anything?
Pretty good so far. Yeah, I'm started off with English classes. I'm guessing just kind of get you used to the, you know, online academic courses
and
stuff like that.
Would you just bring us a couple of questions, like the English things you're learning, maybe see how we do on it? Would you at some point do that?
Yeah, if you'd like. My assignment for last night, I had to make a discipline and genre graph, right?
I don't even know what that means.
Discipline and genre graph?
Yeah, genre. In books, there's horror, sci-fi, fantasy. Yeah. That's a genre. Mm. Like in music, there's rap, rock, country.
Don't use big words around Dan.
What does that have to do with cybersecurity? That's what you're learning.
No, this is for the English class.
Oh, you're not just doing cybersecurity.
No. Yeah, I'm starting off on my English class. So this is.
So are you trying to go for a degree, an actual degree or something?
Yeah, I'm going for a bachelor's degree.
Wow.
Don't get too smart for this show, and that won't be hard to do.
Well, you're already a bachelor, though.
Never. Oh, thank you.
You don't need a degree to be a bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Not by planning.
Well, it was. I guess you know what. This is not over. When John Londoff comes on here next hour, get ready. We'll have to hear from him, and we might as well let him. This will be another outlet for him to, because his boy Pat Maroon, star of the game.
When they went to overtime, that's when I really went into nervous mode and went into nervous breakdown mode, because a game like that, when the Blues just dominated the entire game, you're like scared to death. Because
as an idiot sports person, I thought, well, maybe this is like a boxing strategy where they let the Blues wear themselves out and then they come back out. I'm serious. I thought, okay, this was a strategy, and now they're going to pour it on. And it started to look like in the beginning of the second period, like they, oh man, here, you know, here they come.
Yeah.
They're coming on pretty strong, but luckily it didn't.
Throw the fact that it was a game seven off the window. The Blues outshot Dallas 31-3 in the second and third period.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a hockey game at any level where a team had that kind of dominance in shots, much less a game seven in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And one goal.
And no goal.
The other thing I noticed interesting about hockey is, you're in the second overtime, you're waiting what's going to happen. Unlike baseball or football, let's say it's football and it's fourth quarter and there's 3 seconds left and the guy's about to kick a field goal. He kicks it, and he's going to make it. Yeah! I mean, there's sort of a time to be ready. In baseball, it's two strikes, it's the bottom of the ninth, but, and wind up, and you almost in slow motion, the ball goes over the plate, swing and miss. Okay, hockey is within an eighth of a second. Well, it's over! I mean, you didn't even have a chance to go, okay, I wonder if he's going to make it. No, puck's sitting there, that's it, it's over. It's almost like people don't realize it for a second. That's it!
Oh, yeah.
That's the difference. It's such a fast-moving game. Holy cow. I missed the trail, the electronic. What happened to the electronic tail they used to put on the puck? I guess the
fans didn't like it.
I got news for you. The people like me, it's hard to follow that thing. Half the time, where's the puck? And there it is.
And they said that since the birth of HD TV, the puck was easier to see also. So.
Well, maybe, but it's still a fast-moving game.
A very fast game.
And I lost that puck several times watching that game.
Where is it? I've never seen just any hockey player, any professional hockey player like that. You watch them stick handle with the puck, and what they can do with that puck is just mind blowing.
That's crazy. The hardest game has to be to play in all of sports. And that, whatever that plexiglass material is, that stuff is some pretty strong stuff. Because when they hit that, you can see it just... I've actually, the few times I've been, got to sit right down there by the ice. And man, when they come... You reel back thinking this guy's going to be in my lap, but that thing's going to break. No, it's some strong stuff.
They have shattered before, though. They've shattered, and they've had to come out and get them, But man, and when you're down that close, you can see how fast they are.
Yeah, the other beautiful thing about TV that you don't get by being there, when they get a shot of a hockey player sitting on the sidelines after he's just come off the ice, the sweat is dripping off of their helmets and their noses and their chins. They must lose 12 pounds in the course of a game just from being the heat they build up and the energy they expend. It's a very impressive sport, and the people who play it are they're real athletes, I can't even imagine the not just practice but the gym where to get your body in the kind of shape to survive certainly a second overtime. Holy cow, I'd be a noodle. I'd just be completely spent.
It was a very sloppy second overtime. Passes weren't on the tape. Guys were fumbling the puck all over the place. I knew it was going. I knew it wasn't going to last. I knew it wouldn't go a third period. Somebody.
But
would,
you know what? The other side's tired too. It's a second overtime for them.
Yeah. Game was a lot slower though. I mean, the game slowed down and it was way different game in the fifth period than it was in the second and third. I can tell you that.
And then
when my daughter played tennis, my wife used to say if we go to tennis, it was real windy. She'd go, oh no, this wind's going to really mess with the game. And I said, well, it's going to mess with the other player too. It's the same wind for the opponent. It's not like the wind is just going to hurt our daughter playing. They both got to play in the wind,
yeah,
in a strong wind. So that's how I feel about this. They were both tired. They had to be. But maybe we were just not quite as tired and a little sharper.
You know what, though? After all of that last night, and people were honking their horns out in the street and going crazy, we're halfway through it.
Imagine what it's going to be like. No. Imagine if they make it through the next round.
Oh my God.
And then get to the, and then win it.
Oh.
And another funny story I'll tell you is that Bob Plager, who they retired his jersey and he's, you know, one of the original Blues and a great ambassador for the team. Dan, you think you're a nervous wreck? He was at the game last night and he couldn't even watch it. He wouldn't even watch it. He was just in the hallway, like underneath the stands, monitoring the game on his phone because it's so nervous for him that he can't even watch it when it's to that level.
Bob Plager is one of the greatest guys that you would ever meet.
Yeah.
Who did Gordie Howe play for?
The Red Wings.
And a couple other teams.
And Winnipeg.
And Hartford.
Or Hartford, yeah, that's right. The Whalers.
Yeah.
So let me ask each of you this question. Who, in your opinion, is the greatest hockey player to ever play?
My opinion, Gretzky.
Yeah, I concur.
I thought you'd say. Yeah. And then who's the guy you used to do the impression of? Noel Picard? Did you used to do an impression?
Oh, Noel Picard, yeah. Hey, one tough little tiger there over there, boy. He's a tough little tiger.
He used to say booger a lot, too.
Yeah.
He's a tough little booger.
Didn't you also do an impression of Ron Caron?
Yes, Ron Caron. Oh, yeah. I got to tell you something that the Blues have won Game 7 last night. And we will go to Calgary. I brought Brett home here.
And who was the guy, Mike Keenan, was that his name?
Oh,
that Keenan. Everybody despised?
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's the worst.
I know some names. I don't know anything about the game, but names pop like Harry Ornes. These names are just in my head. He was an owner at one time.
Yeah, he changed the uniforms at one point.
Ron, when I graduated from Mizzou, I interned for the Blues for 1 year. That's actually the true story of why I was a night cook at Denny's, is because I interned for the Blues during the day to try and get my career going in hockey. And Ron Caron was the general manager of the team at the time, and he used to throw the most unbelievable, amazing temper tantrums that I have ever seen anyone throw at any workplace, much less a press box, to the point where the Blues PR staff basically kicked him out of the press box and made him go sit by himself in a suite because he was
across the ice.
Yeah, well, he tried to, you know, other players like Bob Probert, I remember, was one for the Red Wings who's recently passed away, but he was a tough guy and he was in the press box one night hurt or benched or whatever, and like Ron Caron wanted to fight him. You know,
oh, yeah.
Ron Caron's like 65 years old, you know, and fat.
I was there that night, and Probert was a really tough, really big, tough guy. And the players would sit right upstairs from the press box, and Caron went by and said something to Probert. They said, why don't you go ahead? And Probert had just been in trouble with cocaine at the border or something. Exactly. And Caron says, why don't you go snort some cocaine? And then he's doing all this and yelling to Probert. And then somebody comes running down and goes, we have to go help Mr. Caron. He's about to get his ass kicked from Probert. Like, I'm not going up there.
those were the arena days.
Yes,
they were.
Oh, right, that was a trip.
Frank, I just sent you an email because now I actually do have something to talk about the hockey game last night, and it is a testament to the humor of St. Louis natives. So you've all seen.
I don't see any. There it is.
You've all seen the picture of that beautiful blonde with that really with the massive cleavage. On the Dallas game in Texas, she was sitting right behind the players, and just a picture of her went viral. Mm-hmm. Yesterday at the game, you had like a St. Louis guy, a bearded man, right, wearing a wig and this weird outfit to imitate her, and he's sitting right behind the Blues one.
I'm looking at it now.
It's going viral, and I think that's freaking hilarious. The listener reminded me of that.
Trying to decide who I'd rather look at. I'll take her.
Yeah, of course.
That's a nice outfit.
That's hilarious.
Now you know why they call it Big D. Yeah. Big Double D. Right.
Oh, Tim snorted.
I know. I'm in bad shape. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm going to pass
I'm
today.
I'm not even going to interrupt Cleveland today.
Yeah. You give, let's see. I'm getting emails here, too. That's about, I love it. I don't know what this email means. Oh, look up the words to Gloria, this guy says.
Oh.
It's about a girl with problems, okay?
Yeah, so they're rally the song right with, now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the song the Blues play in their dressing room after they win, and the Blues front office staff actually created an MTV-style full-length song video of them lip-syncing the song and shooting it at all different parts of the arena and the front offices and stuff. And it's the song that they play. All the fans were singing it in unison last night as well.
Why that song? Because I'm an idiot about this stuff.
It goes back to the Blues. Steen, Alex Steen. Who were all the players, Tim? Do you remember? There was a handful of players when they were watching the Philadelphia Eagles play.
It's the Laura Branigan one, right? Gloria.
Yeah.
Gloria.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They were watching the Eagles play in the playoffs, and they were with some Philadelphia fans, and for some reason, somebody went and turned Gloria on after the Eagles won or something like that, and that became a big sensation or something. I'm not exactly sure how that all...
And if you look at the lyrics to the song, Gloria, I mean, I know it's this big celebratory song of the Blues and everything. As I analyze the lyrics of the song, Gloria, I think it's about either a prostitute or a drug addict or both.
Yeah, it has really nothing to do with... sports, does it?
No. It's just a song that the Philadelphia Eagles played.
Superstition.
A mentally just, you know, it's part prostitute, part drug addict. Actually, two parts mentally disturbed woman. I mean, if you look at the lyric, I think you're headed for a breakdown. Be careful not to show it. Gloria, you're always on the run now, running after somebody. You got to get them somehow. You know, it's about a woman who's disturbed.
But I think it's the beat, it's the pace of the song. It's a blood pumping,
right.
You know. It's kind of like I'd rather hear that at least. And I'm tired of celebrate good time. You know, come on, I'm tired of that.
But
or it's the celebration song.
Yeah, it was just a fluke with Steen and a couple of the other players with some Philadelphia friends, and they were watching the Eagles, and somebody. There's a story about it. You can Google it and stuff, and it'll tell you exactly.
Teams do goofy things like this. You know, when the Cardinals were winning the World Series, when they were advancing in the playoffs, they used to win and call it, or was it the Blues? Who did the happy flight thing?
That was the Cardinals.
It was the Cardinals, right. Yeah. Okay, they started chanting happy flight, happy flight, happy flight. Well, Gloria, obviously glory. We all know what glory is, and I think you feel glorious when you win, and so glory is the closest thing that they came to that.
But it's got the right pace for pumping people. It does.
But the Blues were watching some Blues players were watching a football game, a playoff game in the NFC on January 6th, and I guess they had a DJ in a bar, and they were playing that, and the guys just decided to make that the locker room song.
They said they liked it. They really liked it. Yeah. They'd never heard it before. Well, they're all in their 20s,
right? Well, Steen's in his 30s, but it was Steen, Edmondson, Bortuzzo, Schwartz, and Fabry that were watching the game together, and they decided to make that the locker room song.
Well, I like it. That's a good one. All right, more on this later because John Londoff will join us before Dr. Doug, so you're going to have to just sit back and let him vent, get it out of his system. He's got to be on cloud nine, as they say, because his boy Pat Maroon closed it out last night. And,
I think he was there last night, too, right?
I guarantee he was there. I don't know that for a fact, but I'd put money on it.
Were they showing John Hamm on the on TV? Because he was there. He was there in
I get that, I guess, but of course he was there. He's got a lot of money, and that's fine. I like it that he and Billy Bob, they're big St. Louis sports fans. That's good. That's good for everybody, I think, that they do that.
Then they had Andy Cohen on the Jumbotron. Mm-hmm. to pump people up. You know, they had different, I guess.
Yeah. And Andy Cohen's never going to pump me up. I can't stand that.
Landau said on Monday when I hosted that it was going to be the first time he sat in his actual seats. I guess he's got season tickets. It's the first time he actually was going to sit in his seats in 3 years.
Oh.
So, from what I could tell, there was very little sitting. Everybody's standing up through a lot of that game last night.
Yeah, there was.
Especially toward the end. So, okay. I think everybody knows they made it. There's one more round to go of seven, best of seven, and then it is Stanley Cup final playoff time. And if this town does go insane and there's a massive parade long overdue, good for them. St. Louis could use that.
I'll be
we
there.
We could use it. I'm tired of the country only seeing St. Louis in the news because another person got shot. Yeah. Let's show that there are other things that happen in St. Louis besides shooting. And speaking of that, this story, it bothers me not only that this kid is dead, but it bothers me. I'm talking about Jalen McKenzie, and I think, Tim, you had the story again in the news today. This is the eighth grader. This is like a 14-year-old kid who had already drawn the attention of college football coaches. The kid was just a really impressive young man. He's a young black man, a student at Mason Clark Middle School in East St. Louis, shot to death at a party Saturday night. Now, I don't think he was the target of the shooting, but the point is, and right or wrong, when you hear that a young black boy, not a thug, not a Michael Brown, not robbing anything, just going to a party, but when you hear he was shot at a party, in your mind, how do you see the shooter?
Well, the sad part is he was trying, he knew that, ugliness was gonna break out and he was trying to leave the party. He got hit with a stray bullet. He wasn't.
But how
he
do you see the shooter in your mind? The guy that fired the shot.
Another kid.
I see it as a young black kid, and I justify that with that's usually who pulls the trigger at these late night East St. Louis inner city shootings. It's usually drug related and a young black kid. And what, well, here's what bothers me: had Jalen McKenzie not been an upstanding, promising young man, had he been a thug, shot justifiably by a white cop, there'd be all kinds of uproar. There'd be protesting and people wanting justice. Why don't you want justice for this kid? Why isn't there this outcry? Why aren't there mobs forming, demanding, we need to find the killer of this young man? Is that, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to me. You know, everybody wants justice. Even if a thug is shot, running and resisting and threatening and doing what looks to be pulling a gun on the cop, if it's a white cop that shoots him, oh my goodness, the outrage. Here's a kid who did not deserve to die, to be shot.
It's not a racial issue. That's
my. But thank you. But that's my point. Do people in the black community only care about the people shot if it looks like it might be racial, even when it isn't racial? A criminal is a criminal. Shot by a white or a black cop, it's criminal. It's not racism. But do they only get upset if they think it can be painted as racism? Or don't you care about this kid's life? Just because it wasn't a, ooh, looks like it might be some sort of racism, is that what makes the difference? It shouldn't.
Al Sharpton should come in and...
Where's Al Sharpton? Al Sharpton in defense of young black men like this who were going down the right path, who were doing everything right, and headed for a wonderful future, it looked like? Where's Al Sharpton? Where's Al Sharpton? Do they have a shooter? They don't, do they? They haven't caught the kid yet. Yeah, I would be... Ooh. If I were in that community, I wouldn't rest until they found this guy. But I don't seem to hear a lot of, I can't believe my baby's dead. Well, no, I'm sure you can't, but let's find who did it, and let's make an example out of him for any other punks that want to gun down innocent people. I don't understand it. If it's not perceived racism, the public doesn't seem to care. And this happens every day, this kind of thing. So it's a bad story. It's just everything about it doesn't make sense to me. Dr. Doug is on today, my grandson picked up this morning their new puppy. This is going to be very interesting next few years. They got a brand new puppy, and of course, little puppies are the cutest things in the world, and I won't get to see it myself till Sunday.
And the most destructive.
And I've already got video of my grandson. They sent me trying to get the dog, he's throwing him shoes, trying to get the, and I hear my daughter-in-law going, no, don't teach him to eat our shoes. Okay, so they're going to go through all that. It's going to be a lot of fun. This summer is going to be fun, because I know what's going to happen. We're going to take that thing to the lake. We got to get him a little life jacket, or her. I keep calling him, it's a girl. Get her a little, Piper is her name. Get her a little life jacket. She's going to go down the dock with us, and she's going to see a fish for the first time and go crazy and not know whether she's supposed to eat it or run from it, or it's going to be fun.
What kind of dog is it?
It's an Australian Labradoodle. They don't shed. Hyperallergenic. It looks like a little teddy bear. It's so cute. And here's what's going to happen. It's going to be a great education for my grandson, because if all goes the way it should, he's going to grow up with that dog. And there is, to me, it's one of the things that I personally think that especially a boy, but girls and boys, should grow up with a dog. And the dog is at your side. The dog is part of the family. Because it's also going to teach him in a few years about loss and what it's like to have to say goodbye to that dog. And that's a tough, tough thing, especially when the dog has been with you its whole life. And this one is 8 weeks. I mean, this is the first family that dog will know, and hopefully the only family. And he's going to have to learn. He's going to have to learn a lot of things. Dogs are going to get hurt. Dogs are going to get sick, injured, might have to go to the vet, might not make it, might make it. But at some point, he's going to have to learn what it's like to say goodbye to a dog, which hopefully is this sounds kind of weird, in a way, preparation for dealing with life, human life, and how you have to say goodbye to people. He's going to have to say goodbye to me one day, his grandpa. And maybe that'll help kind of prepare him for things like that. So I think it's a great thing that he's got a dog. I'm thrilled to death about it. Now, one other thing I want to, I'm not good about the Facebook page thing, the show, I'm putting stuff up, but I did post in the last 24 hours, the three magic tricks. I did them for my grandson, but I thought, well, I'll put them on here. And I did. It's interesting to me, the first one I put up, in about 12 hours, 2,000 people looked at it. So for anybody who doesn't know who's listening or how many people are listening, that's just the 2,000 people that looked at the video. That's not an indication of how many people listen, which brings me to Little Jude Hewitt. We've crossed over the $6,000 mark for this little baby, and I saw the first video, because they posted it, and I saw it on their GoFundMe page. It's difficult to watch, because this little guy is 2 days short of being a month old. His right arm is paralyzed, and when little babies lie on their back in their diapers, they kick and they raise their arms, and he can't raise his right arm. He can't open his right eye because he has right side paralysis, because he was deprived of oxygen for 13 minutes. And then I took a look at how many people donated. I think the number is, when I last looked, it was 60-something
people. I'm looking at it now, 65 donors. The story's been shared 125 times, and 67 people are following the story.
That is very sad to me. It really is. I don't know how many people we have listening, but I know it's more than 65 people. So here's what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to drop this. I'm not going to keep hammering away at this. 65 people out of, I don't know how many thousands of people. I don't know. But I'm going to address three sets of people that are listening. The people who donated. Let's start with you. Thank you. I don't know these people. I don't know this little boy, but I'm a human being and you are too. And you know that $50 or $20 to help this kid will not change your life. It will, in the sense that you'll feel good about it. But otherwise, you're not going to go hungry because you donated $20 to this little baby. Then I want to address the people who can't give but wish they could. You're okay. That's okay. In my book, if I were at the gates in heaven and I saw and could read your mind and said, you know what, you were kind of agonizing over the fact that you wanted to help, but you're going through a tough stretch and you couldn't. Come on into heaven, you get a pass. Now let me address the rest of you, and this is most of you, who haven't done one thing toward helping this little baby. Some of you have a good reason. You have other things that you're, other causes, other people you're helping. Okay, you step aside. Now the rest of you, what's the matter with you? All of you who know that $20 or $30 or $50 or $100, again, will not change your life, and you know about this because you listened to the show, but you didn't do anything. I was you many, many years ago when I was younger. I never bothered to think about people who needed things. I didn't care about, I had my own life and kids, and that was all I cared about. And then something happened when I got a little older, and I had three kids, and I had some money. And I don't know when the first time was that I really did something big to help somebody. I mean something to the tune of thousands of dollars. But I do know this. Every time I've done it, I feel fantastic. It's a tremendous feeling to know that you've helped somebody who really needs help and who struggled to even ask for help. It was all they could do to step up and say, we need help. And for those of you who think, well, they'll never know who I am, it won't make that much difference, you're wrong. You know who you are. You know what you did. And that's really all that should matter. If you're doing it for attention or to be recognized, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know what you did. And when you see the total and you look and you go, hey, I was part of that. I helped change that little kid's life and make it a little easier for his parents who are going to have to pay all these bills for years and years and years. I'm just telling you, I'm disappointed in those of you who can do this and didn't do it. And I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to stay on this. You're not listening to this show to listen to me raise money for St. Jude or for little Jude Hewitt. So I'm not going to keep doing this. But I'm going to, for the final time, ask you, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/AMandThePM. Dan Strauss has put it up there for you to see. And I want you to watch this little baby and watch the video his parents took of him kicking and smiling because he doesn't know he's in trouble. He's not old enough to realize yet what his life's going to be, that he's paralyzed on the right side. He didn't know. So he's trying to smile. And smiling with one eye, because the other one won't open. He didn't know. But you do. You know. And if you can help and you don't, shame on you. And you can write me all the emails you want to. Frank, who do you think you are? I'm not chastising everybody. I'm not preaching to everybody. I'm only preaching to you, and you know who you are. You make good money, you have healthy kids, and you don't give a dime, you don't give a dollar to anybody because you're selfish. You know who you are. Stop it. If you change that behavior, it'll change your life. I tried to tell my kids from the time they were little, it is the greatest feeling to help other people and see their gratitude. And I read you the letters from this little boy's dad and his grandmother. And if you didn't hear them, you need to go back to the podcast yesterday and listen to them because I can't read them again. I'll never get through them. So thank you. Understand that what I'm doing here is thanking those of you who helped, understanding those of you who can't, but not understanding those of you who can and did nothing. And you go, well, that's not my fight. I got other things to deal with. It's not my fight either. I don't know these people. But something about this story just got to me. And then it got to me even more when I realized how grateful and how not greedy these people are. It just, they had to ask for help. But they weren't greedy about it. The GoFundMe goal was $20,000. It's a little over six. And the other thing I find interesting is every bit of that money, except I think for the first two donations that came in totaling $60, is from you people, AM and the PM people. I am so proud of the AM and the PM people who stepped up, because without us, I don't think this kid would have $100. They don't seem to have a big network support system, a big family. So thank you for those of you who did what you did. So that's it. That's the end of my sermon. Dr. Doug is in today in the 4 o'clock hour. You may have a new puppy in your family. You may have a question about how to, you know, I don't like potty training is a human term. People go potty train. No, you didn't. You didn't teach the dog to use the pot. You housebroke the dog. So you may also be going through the very first initial housebreaking. That's the other thing that my son and daughter-in-law and grandson are going to have to learn how to do is housebreak a dog. Man, oh, man. And you know, some dog, you can do it like in a week. It happens pretty quickly. They just sort of learn, go to the door. Woo. Others never get it. They just never see. Either they're too stupid or they're defiant or they just every once in a while go, hey, I'm going to make a little deposit here in the house just to show you that I don't have to follow these housebreaking rules. So Dr. Doug will be here in the 4 o'clock hour. Thank you to the people who've watched the magic videos. I know I'm not a good magician. I'm not supposed to be a good magician. And I know that Joe Harden over in Columbia watched him and burst out laughing. Go, that's the worst magic I've ever seen. He's a professional magician. He doesn't count. And any other professional magicians, I don't want to hear from
you. Happy. I'm the magical man from Happy Land in a gumdrop house at Lollipop Lane.
That's right. That's right. I'm a frustrated magician, frustrated singer, frustrated musician, frustrated wannabe radio success. I'm a frustrated lots of things.
Have you ever seen a magician perform at like a private party or an event?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a magician do anything that just absolutely blew you away that you remember to this day? Because I have. What's yours?
Oh, I have more than one. Oh. I'm still blown away by the thing where you take these guys like these Chris Angels or these street magicians, and they'll have somebody write their name on a card, and then the card appears on the outside of the glass at the restaurant they're in. That gets me. I still don't know how they do that. The sawing in half thing I finally figured out, because you can go online. This is one of the bad things for magicians about YouTube. You can go online and find out how to do almost any of these tricks. So what's the one that got you?
The guy that did my Bad Mood, Good Mood website is a professional magician, but he struggles to make a living with that, so he's got to do layout and design work. He appeared at a party one time that I know he had never been in this building before. And he asked a friend of mine that I know had never met him for a cigarette, and she gave him one. And he asked everybody to step back, and he stepped about 20 feet back, and he lit the cigarette, and he put it in his mouth, and he put his arms, his palms out wide, hands up, he put his palms out wide with his arms completely stretched out, and he spit the cigarette out of his mouth, and it hovered about 2 feet in front of his face, and then he eyeballed it and made it go and circle completely around his head, and then he sucked the cigarette back into his mouth and handed it to her.
That's a great trick. Now that's a great trick.
I mean, he says exactly what you're saying. He's really mad, and his coalition of magician friends are mad that all these magicians are selling out and showing people how to do tricks that they view as sacred.
Oh, if they could get their hands on these people in these masks, these anonymous magicians saying, here's how they do this trick, right. They'd kill that guy. Because they work and practice, and then some guy gives it all away. I mean, you know what? Quite frankly, when I do find out how to do a trick, then I'm kind of mad. Because I enjoyed not knowing, and then when I learned, but the problem is, you don't give up. You go, show me how to do it, and you go looking it up, and then you wish you hadn't done it, because it ruined it for you. I have seen people do tricks that just, I'm just completely baffled. And a couple of them I have not bothered to look up, because I don't want to know how they did them. Now I'm running late. I was supposed to do two commercials. I haven't done one. We'll push one over to another hour, but I do have time for this. First Community Credit Union. A couple of things I want you to remember. One, this time of year, home improvement, if you don't have the cash for the new deck or the pool or the landscaping or the additional room you want to build on, don't sweat it. You're a homeowner. You can borrow money at very reasonable rates from First Community Credit Union. All you need is what they call a home equity line of credit. That means they've approved you for X amount of dollars. Let's say $20,000. 30, 40. Maybe you won't need it all, but it's enough that you know you have what you need, maybe even more. Of course, you're only going to pay back what you borrow for that project. And if you take that loan out before June 30th, for the first year, you're only going to pay it back at a rate of 2.49% APR. That is an incredible rate. That's a super low rate for that first year. You can find out all the details at First Community Credit Union, and I hope you will. And the other thing I hope is if you're not a member, you'll consider joining all of us who are members of First Community. This is, yeah, there it is. There's that music. This is where we back. It's where we do all our backing, and we're called members, and I'd like for you to consider joining us, because if you do, you take advantage of things like that loan or the wedding loans that they have available, or the loan for the bike or the motorcycle that you got fever for now that we have decent weather. They'll help you with that, too. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. For lots of good reasons, great place to bank, First Community Credit Union, and exclusive sponsors of the greatest yard sale on the radio, and that's Saturday morning right here on 590 The Fan, 7 to 9 o'clock. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com. Dr. Doug Pernikoff will come up after we let Johnny Londoff yell and scream and go crazy, and maybe he's too tired to do any of that about the Blues game last night. Dr. Doug will join us, so be prepared to have your questions ready that you have about your pet. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just 3 blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com.